Okay, our next case is number 22-1161, Acquisition 362 LLC versus United States. Ms. Marks.
May it please the court, I have no pixels and no adapters. We're going to launch into the world of Court of International Trade jurisdiction. My client and I very much appreciate the opportunity to present this matter to you because there were, with all due respect, two fundamental jurisdictional errors that the Court of International Trade committed that require reversal and remand by this court under the de novo review standard.
Okay, let me start out by saying I found both sides' briefs very confusing in terms of what happened here. Was there a suspension of liquidation? If so, where was it ordered?
There was not.
There was not.
There was not. And I think that...
I'm sorry, on that very specific point, I guess I'm looking at the August 10th, 2015 Federal Register, which announced the countervailing duty order. This is 80 Federal Register 47902, and at the very back of it, 47907, it says suspension of liquidation. The department will direct CBP, that's Customs, to reinstitute suspension of liquidation effective on the date of publication. And then on August 14th, 4 days later, there's a message from Commerce to Customs ordering suspension.
That was the original establishment of the CBD rate, Your Honor. Where we have to look, this is the administrative review of that CBD rate. So it was established in 2015.
Right, but in 2016, when Customs liquidated, you could have protested that as a violation of the suspension, which was in place. Could you not?
The suspension was not in place at that point in time. The administrative review that is at issue here, Your Honor, is...
Can you just fill in a detail for me? So the suspension that references is for the original investigation.
Correct.
At some point, that investigation was final.
Correct.
And the duty rate was established.
Exactly.
And then there was, I assume, an order to Customs somewhere to lift the suspension.
Yes.
And liquidate.
Correct.
Where was that?
And I would have to get, I'm sorry, I don't have that citation.
What I was reading from was not the initiation, but was from the final CBD order that suspends liquidation, I thought in the usual course, but it doesn't matter whether it's in the usual course, so that there's not supposed to be any liquidation until the 1675 administrative review proceedings get underway.
And I think where the clarification can be found is in the Federal Register notice that's dated Monday, October 16th, 2017.
Right, I have that.
82 FR 48051.
Yeah.
If we review the entirety of that, there is not one mention of continuing suspension of liquidation.
Does there have to be if there's one already in place? Does the initiation of a 1675 administrative review automatically terminate an existing suspension?
I don't believe there was an existing suspension at the time, and I think that the government...
Except apparently the one that I read to you.
At this point in time, the in order to initiate a review, the...
Is there a missing order here somewhere that
yes.
we haven't seen that after this initial investigation, when the suspension noted in that, there was an order to Customs after that all became final saying liquidate under this rate for the first investigation?
That's my understanding.
And then somebody later in time asked for a review,
correct,
which is what we're talking about. My question is, and the briefs didn't explain this to me very clearly, is when somebody asks for review, is there not an automatic suspension for all people potentially affected by that review?
That would have to be ordered. And there is
and it
nothing.
Wasn't ordered.
It was not ordered.
Okay.
If we look at a document, I'm not sure, I don't think it's in the appendix, but it's dated June 17, 2019. It's a public document. And it says, notice of the lifting of suspension of liquidation of entries, which seems to be an order lifting a suspension of liquidation at the conclusion of the period of review and the issuance of the period of review order. I guess what I'm puzzled about is if there's an order lifting the suspension, doesn't there have to have been an order creating the suspension?
Certainly there has to be. If there's an order lifting a suspension, there has to be an order creating a suspension.
Are you familiar with the order I'm talking about?
On June 17, 2019 is the issuance of the amended final results.
Right.
Right.
So are you, this is not part of that order establishing the final results. It seems to be a separate the document's message number 918-4301. Are you familiar with that?
I don't have that message in front of me, Your Honor.
Okay, but it does talk about lifting the suspension, which raises this question, well, if it's lifting a suspension, it says notice of lifting and suspension of liquidation entries, blah, blah, blah. If a suspension's lifted, it suggests that there was a suspension. I think we're all just really puzzled as to what goes on here, and part of the problem, I think, is that these suspension of liquidations would be a lot better if Commerce ordered that as part of the initiation of the investigation, and then we'd know what was going on. But that apparently is not what happens generally. Is that your understanding?
First of all, I couldn't agree with you more that it would be very, very helpful if when we initiate investigation, we confirm the status of suspension. If we look at the initiation of investigation here, there's nothing that says that there's suspension. And in their brief, Your Honor, the government has, well, they tried to say we could have argued that there was a premature liquidation. They disagree that there was a premature liquidation and also don't cite to any authority that says that suspension was liquidated during this period in which our entries
liquidation
which we
was suspended.
Paid.
That liquidation was suspended. The trouble is that the June 17th, 2019, The August 2016 Federal Register 2015 expressly says liquidation is suspended, and the only way you and then there was a follow-on message 4 days later. There had then been some discussion about how there is must have been or something a another order from Commerce withdrawing that suspension, which I've never heard any mention of. The trouble is that your argument pretty centrally depends on this idea that there was nothing you could do at the time of the actual liquidation. And if, in fact, there was a suspension in place, that's not right. You could have protested the liquidation as a violation of the suspension, and now the idea is that there's this phantom withdrawal of the published suspension that you have to rely on for your argument?
I don't think that's the case. I think what we rely on is the Federal Register notice that's published, and that's the notice that goes out to everybody as they're importing these tires that the duty rate may change. And that's the October 16th, 2017 notice. Nothing in there indicates that there's a suspension of liquidation. There's no notice given that the prior suspension from years ago is still in place. They're reviewing
and
the rate. I'm sorry.
You're not arguing. I mean, I don't understand why this. None of this stuff is in the record, but I assume that those were all liquidated. All the entries under the original order were liquidated.
All of our entries were liquidated.
I mean, somebody
yes.
should have given us that order, because there has to be an order from Commerce to Customs for liquidation to happen.
Certainly, all.
But you're not arguing that first order is still, the suspension for that first order is still in place.
We are not arguing that.
But I'm still confused when this investigation, the administrative review, not the investigation, sorry, I know the terms are important. The administrative review was initiated. It involved a whole bunch of companies.
It did.
There's a really long list.
It did.
Do we know what happened to, and your client withdrew from the review, right?
Correct.
Do we know were the entries of all the people that didn't review somehow suspended or not liquidated? And the reason that your company's entries were liquidated because you withdrew from the review?
I don't know the answer to that, Your Honor. I mean, what we're looking at here is the manufacturer whose tires we imported is listed in the October 16th, 2017 notice. They're there. There is no doubt about that. So they are subject to this review. And as the review went on, the review continued with them in place. So they're part of that review, and there is
But there's suggestion in the record that somebody related to you withdrew. I mean, I'm not making that up out of thin air.
You are not.
Right, and so maybe there was a mistake as to who withdrew, and I again, this wasn't explained whether the withdrawal is what led to the liquidation, but it does seem to me an inference that it could have led to the liquidation.
Yeah, there is no evidence in the record that the withdrawal had any impact whatsoever on the liquidation.
But we don't know if everybody else that was covered by the order didn't get liquidated. It seems like other companies' entries didn't get liquidated.
And certainly the timing of these liquidations took forever. I mean, that is an unmistakable fact. And the fact, we experienced that ourselves, that one of our entries was liquidated so late that now we were able to get the refund. I see that I'm into my rebuttal time, but I want to make sure that I'm answering your question.
Well, I mean, all of this is just factual matter to get us to understanding what even is going on here. But ultimately, don't you still have the problem that there was a liquidation, and that's a final decision of customs, and unless you protest it, you can't challenge it?
And that goes exactly to Your Honor's point earlier, that we didn't have anything to protest.
You had the final decision. It's not, you can say, whether you had an argument about why the liquidation was wrong, it's a question of finality. It's not whether there's an exception to finality,
well,
is there?
The final decision was more than 180 days after liquidation, right?
The final decision was 220 days after liquidation.
Yeah, so I'm not seeing how you could have protested the liquidation unless there was a suspension of liquidation. If you say there wasn't, and the government hasn't shown us that there was, that would have brought us within carbon activated. But I guess a related question might be, well, okay, when they initiated this administrative review, you could have requested a suspension of liquidation. And how about the argument that perhaps that was your remedy, was to request the suspension and then to object if it was liquidated in violation of the suspension?
It comes back to this issue of on what basis do we request suspension? We don't know if the rate's going to change.
Well,
we don't
the rate's
going to change.
That would seem to happen fairly frequently, that the suspension, excuse me, just because of the existence of the proceeding. Could you have requested suspension of liquidation when the proceeding, the administrative review proceeding, was initiated?
Could we have requested that of Customs?
Yeah.
Certainly. You
of
can request
of Customs that. Or of Commerce? Who would you make that request?
That's a very good question. I suppose the request could be posed to both, but there's no evidence in the record. They kicked us out on a Rule 12 basis. There's no evidence in the record to demonstrate.
When somebody asks for an investigation, it's with the intent that the rate may change.
Correct.
They have information that they think the rate is going to change. And they're asking that of Commerce, right? So why aren't they asking Commerce to order Customs to suspend all liquidations during the period of administrative review? I thought that routinely happened, frankly. That, and the government can answer that, but I thought when there was an administrative review that Commerce initiated, liquidations were suspended. So it kind of surprised me to see that they weren't here.
Agreed. I mean,
but that doesn't absolve you from not protesting a liquidation. Which, because I'm a little confused, because you seem to reference something different as a final decision. But my understanding is when an entry is liquidated after the time for protest has elapsed, that becomes the final decision of Customs. Is that not the law?
After 180 days after liquidation, certainly that becomes a final decision. But our argument is that we didn't have anything to protest within 180 days after that final decision. Our ability to
protest
comes later.
Your protest would have been that the ongoing administrative review could still change the rates.
At that point in time...
And again, it's whether you had an argument or not, isn't it a finality question? You have to protest a liquidation.
We don't have an obligation to file a legally futile protest. And if we are going to go to anyone and say we don't have a new rate...
But how do we know it was legally futile?
Because we didn't have a new rate, and we didn't have a suspension order, and we didn't have the ability to come forward and say, what's the basis here?
I still don't understand. This doesn't seem like it was futile. You could have told Customs that this review is ongoing and may change the rates.
It may change the rates. There's no obligation on anybody to grant that order, nor was that order in place here.
No, but that's what you can ask Customs, and Customs can either grant or deny the protest, and you can file a case in the CIT under a jurisdiction, and then you could get it resolved. It seems like you're asking us to expand the futility exception to I in a way that we've never done before.
No, I don't think we are. I think I is created as that catch-all provision in order to allow a remedy where there isn't one that's available. And what we're
saying... Why isn't what I just described a remedy that would have been available?
Because there was...
Is there cases where you could have filed a protest, even if you may not have had a good argument, but you didn't, and the liquidation decision became final, but we nonetheless allowed I jurisdiction?
I think on the I can give you a case on the flip side of that, where we talk about when you file a protest, and this is the E.H. Bailey case that we talk about, that we cannot file a protest as a matter of established case law that just says the rate was wrong. That we're prohibited from doing that. This court has established that that doesn't work. We don't know what the new rate is. That doesn't work for this court's jurisdiction. And so
it would give the CIT a jurisdiction. You might lose, but it would give the CIT a jurisdiction. Because Customs would deny the protest, and then you could challenge the denial of the protest under A.
I don't think so, Your Honor, because if we file a legally futile protest, which the Bailey case is trying to give us an indication that this would be, the fact that we have filed that doesn't give us A jurisdiction.
Are you suggesting that there are cases that say the CIT has refused A jurisdiction because you filed a legally futile protest and should have done it under I? I'm not aware of any of those cases.
No, I think what we're saying is that in order to get a jurisdiction, there has to have been an admissible protest. A legally ineffective
what
protest
case can you
is not
cite
a
for
thing.
That? I thought all you had to do to get a jurisdiction was file a protest against a liquidation decision on whatever ground you want to file it, have it denied, and then you go to the Court of International Trade. Whether you filed a meritorious one will go to the merits, but it's just the procedural act of challenging the liquidation decision, otherwise it becomes final and not challengeable under I generally.
And what we're saying here, Your Honor, is that there was a different mechanism. The court and the government are so myopically focused on liquidation that they're not understanding that those
case,
other two
any
provisions.
Case.
Or
is this
going to
be
statutes.
A case of first impression?
It comes from the statute.
Can you answer the question, are there any cases that support this argument that we have allowed this kind of futility exception to I or to A jurisdiction and gone under I, or is this going to be a case of first impression?
All of the cases that we found, Your Honor, were cited in our reply brief. So I think.
But none of them are this situation, right? This is a case of first impression. We're creating a new futility exception to A jurisdiction, if we go with your argument.
I don't think so. I think that this
what
is...
What case?
The statutes, Your Honor.
No. What case?
All of the cases have been
okay.
cited.
Okay. You don't have a specific case.
I don't have a specific case. Thank you.
Okay. We'll give you 3 minutes for rebuttal. Ms. Josen?
Good morning, Your Honor.
Can you explain why we don't have all the orders in this case going back to the first investigation? Because there is a gap here. And, I mean, common sense, if you have the initial investigation, that investigation, in order for there to be an administrative review, at some point that investigation and the rate was final and those entries were liquidated. And I assume that all happened here, but we don't have any evidence of that in the record.
Your Honors, I think that's not on the record. It's because it's a jurisdictional case.
I understand, but it's very frustrating.
I can explain, certainly, how it's supposed to happen and what happened.
Right, they're in the Federal Register. Even if they weren't in the record, you could have cited us the Federal Register notices. So did that happen here? That document that we're talking about mm-hmm. that has the suspension at the end, is there something after that that lifted that suspension and ordered the liquidation of the entries that were covered by the initial investigation?
I'm not sure if that's on the record, but I think the trial court's decision here sums up the background.
Wouldn't
it
have been published in the Federal Register?
Well, okay, so normally when here we're talking about countervailing duty order. When a countervailing duty order is in place here tires from China. At entry, thereafter, parties are required to put estimated duties. When Commerce initiates an administrative review on an annual basis, they're automatically suspended. Those entries remain suspended.
Wait. So you're saying there was a suspension of liquidation here?
Yes, there was a suspension. How do we know?
What order suspended liquidation?
When Commerce initiates the administrative review.
It doesn't say it. How do we know that suspends liquidation?
That's done by statute. It's automatic.
No, it's statute.
It's and I can also point to the CIT's decision, which is cited in our brief in AND Power. That's 121 F sub 3rd. The CIT there explains it pretty clearly, the scheme that's involved when you have suspension of liquidation.
Okay,
and
but
the statute.
I don't see anything in the administrative review order that suspends liquidation. I do not see anything in the statute in this administrative review context that suspends liquidation automatically.
It's the,
please point to me which statute you think does that.
Sure. Section 1675 provides that on an annual basis, Commerce conducts an administrative review.
1675 what?
1675. This is part of the Commerce.
Yeah, I know. Do you have a subsection? It's a very long section.
Yeah. A1.
Thank you.
And then this is in the AmPower case by the CIT. It says It says it has long been recognized that the necessary implication of reading.
No. Mm-hmm. The statute. What does this? 1575.
A1.
What does it say?
It says that. The anti-dumping duty, and this is just a quote from the CIT's decision.
You don't have the language of the statute.
I don't have the language of the statute itself. Again, because this is going to
I don't think the language of, this, of that particular provision says anything about suspension. There's a provision in 1671B, which D2, which talks about suspension of liquidation, but that is dealing with the initial investigation, not with the administrative review provisions. I could not find anything in the statute that automatically suspends liquidation on the commencement of an administrative review. You seem to think there
is. Tell me
where it is.
It's the reading of the two statutes together that suspension of liquidation of an entry must remain in effect throughout an administrative review by Commerce. That's just part of the retrospective system of anti-dumping.
It's an assumption that there was a suspension?
There's definitely a suspension.
I do not understand Commerce's approach to these things. We've had problems with this in the past. You know, administrative agencies are supposed to issue orders so that people know what the situation is. I cannot understand why Commerce, if it thinks it's suspending liquidation, doesn't say so.
It does. I mean, in initiation, that's how it works.
The order did not say so.
No, this is not a new concept in the sense that the
system. Yeah, but how did Customs know if you didn't tell them that all the entries under this period of review were suspended?
Commerce does. I don't know if that's in the record, but in normal context, when there's an initiation of a review, Commerce sends instructions.
Review. We have the order for the initiation. Is there a separate instruction that Commerce sent to Customs in this case? Certainly don't have it.
There should have been. But again, at the end
there
of the day.
There should have been? Was there?
There is. There
have
should
you seen
have been.
It?
Again, that's getting
have
to the merits.
Have you seen it?
At the,
have you seen such an order?
No, because we didn't get, you know, Customs didn't get to the merits here because there was no jurisdiction.
Your view is it doesn't matter because
it doesn't matter.
The liquidation decision was final.
Exactly. It doesn't
matter. It sure would help us understand what went on here if we knew whether Commerce actually told Customs to suspend these entries.
Well,
if Customs wasn't told to suspend these entries and they got liquidated and there was no grounds for protest, what should they have said?
The plaintiff is only entitled to that amended final result if the entry was suspended. If the entry was not suspended, they're not entitled to that amended review because, again, plaintiff's argument is very inconsistent. On the one hand,
I don't understand that.
On the
they're
one hand,
they're not entitled to the rate if liquidation was not suspended. What case says that?
Because that's how the amended
what
final
case
result.
Says that?
It's not case. It's how the statutes work. It's the whole retrospective system of anti-dumping countervailing duties here. Plaintiff can only get the benefit of that amended final results that it wanted had the entries been suspended. If the entries were not suspended, then he wouldn't be entitled to that right. That's just, you know, and that's what it's confusing here, because appellant's argument here very much is inconsistent. On the one hand, appellant is arguing that the entries subject to Commerce's they are subject to the review.
Let me understand. I think I understand what you're saying, which is if there's a review period, generally these things are suspended, because if they're not and it's liquidated, it's final, and whatever happens after the finality can't retroactively change it because the liquidation decision has become final.
That's correct.
So what I can't understand here from this record, and I understand it went off on a motion to dismiss, so we don't have much of a record, but is why their entry was liquidated when it seems like nobody else's was. And that would be consistent with your view that this was suspended, that the entries under this review period were suspended. But then if they were, and their company was one of those listed, why were theirs liquidated?
They're arguing that they weren't subject to the review.
I don't know either, because they said
I don't know either.
Company, certainly one company that withdrew that seems somehow related to them, but then they said there's other companies that didn't withdraw that are related to them. That's also unclear from all of this.
The raid is going to apply to them whether they withdrew from the proceeding or not. You know, there might be no individual examination for purposes of establishing a rate particular to them, but the all others rates want to apply to them whether they're part of the proceeding or not, right?
For that administrative review, no. The all others, the rate that they, you know, it's up to them to declare the rate that they think they're entitled to at entry. So they did that here.
But if their entry had continued to be suspended, even if they didn't participate in the review and the all others rate was revised downward, then it would apply to them.
If their entry was suspended and they were entitled to those that amended final results, yes. If the amended final results did review these entries, it's not clear that Commerce did review these entries. And if Commerce did review these entries, then yes, they would be entitled to that rate. And again, this finality argument goes both ways. If the rate had gone up, Customs couldn't go back and get those duties. Had higher. It was final. That's it. It's a final against all parties. So it cuts both ways. Plaintiff thinks, we didn't know it would be lower. The government didn't know it would be lower either or higher. It could have been higher. Post-Commerce's amended final results, the rate could have increased. Yet, because of the finality, because of 1514A, that
I'm
says
sorry,
it's
I'm
final.
I'm understanding this argument. I'm going to come back to the question of whether liquidation here was suspended or not. And you seem not to know the answer to the question of whether there was an order that did that.
For plaintiff to win its argument, as a matter of fact, I'm not sure.
You're not? Can you find out?
Sure, but that's getting to the merits, right?
No, it's not. We think it's a jurisdictional issue. Are you able to find out whether there was an order suspending liquidation?
Yes, I think we can, you know, we would have to go back and see what exactly happened on the merits. But again, here, Customs didn't even do that here.
I understand your argument is it doesn't matter whether it was suspended or not. The liquidation becomes final if not protested, and you can't go through jurisdiction. So whether there's suspension or not under your position is irrelevant. But if we see it differently, and somehow want to create an exception to that finality and allow them to go through I when there was nothing for them to protest because there was no suspension and they had no disagreement, then it would matter, right, whether there was a suspension?
Well, for them to win, they would have had to be suspended. So they wouldn't be entitled to that amended final results.
I think you're going down another route, but let's just go with what I was asking. If there was no suspension order, and they're liquidated, and they had no basis to file a protest, their argument is that creates an exception to mandatory A jurisdiction, and they can go through a futility exception in I. And that wouldn't work if their entry was actually suspended, because there was something to protest. Sorry.
I mean, we can. Yeah. The panel would like you to find out the answer to the question of whether there was an order suspending liquidation and whether it was public or not.
Whether there was an order suspending
liquidation
of these specific entries at issue here.
Of all the companies covered by the review. Because I think what you have said is the practice when there's a review is for all entries covered by the review period to be suspended, right?
Correct.
We need to know what your basis for that is, because it doesn't appear to be in the statute. It doesn't appear to be in the specific order in instituting the review here in this case. And I don't know if there's any regulatory authority to that effect, but I don't think there is. And you didn't cite anything to us in the statutes today. I think you cited an inference. But you seem to suggest there has to be some operative document for Customs to know to suspend, right?
Yes. Customs, again, it's the initiation, and then Customs sends instructions to Commerce saying...
You mean Commerce sends instructions
to Customs? I'm sorry. Commerce sends instructions to Customs saying these entries are under review... those specific instructions.
And at least for my sake, this is, I think, a separate point. You're now talking about how you're assuming, and you will now check whether there was, upon the initiation of the 1675 review, an instruction to suspend liquidations. Earlier focusing on the end of the 2015 final CBD order that said liquidation is to be suspended, followed 4 days later by a instruction to Customs to that effect. Is it your view that that somehow lapsed of its own force before the initiation of the 1675, or was that in place so that one wouldn't need an additional suspension order with the initiation of the administrative review?
So the countervailing duty order, that's the one you're referencing.
The countervailing duty order says suspend liquidation. And did that just continue?
Yes, that just continues. That suspension by the countervailing duty order, that suspension continues until there's an administrative review by Commerce. Now, when an administrative review, it's not like there's an administrative review of all companies. You have to request it. Somebody has to request it. If nobody requests an administrative review of a specific company, then those entries are no longer suspended and liquidated in accordance, usually as entered. But the suspension from the anti-dumping order does continue administratively until a time that there's an administrative review or that time frame for the administrative review happens moves forward.
If I understand what you just said, and I may not understand it correctly, there might not have been a need for a instruction from Commerce to Customs upon initiation of the administrative review in order to effectuate suspension, since suspension was already in effect.
So I'll clarify. Once there's an initiation, Commerce will send instructions to Customs saying, we're reviewing these entries for everyone else.
I'm actually not much interested in what Commerce will do.
Okay.
I'm interested in whether the outstanding, I think you said it was a still outstanding, still in effect suspension order that was part of the August 2015 CBD final decision, was still in effect.
Yes, until the time for an administrative review.
I don't understand this at all. I don't know that you're understanding the question. We're talking about the original CBD order,
correct,
and at the end it has suspension.
Mm-hmm.
But that covers a certain set of time or a certain set of entries?
No, the CBD order...
That's just an order setting
rate. That as you have these entries come in, you're subject to an order, and this is the estimated duty.
That's right. It doesn't have an end date on it. So the August 14th, 2015 order, number paragraph 4, for imports of these goods, the passenger vehicle, a certain passenger vehicle and light truck tires from the People's Republic of China, CBP shall suspend liquidation of entries of subject merchandise entered or withdrawn from warehouse for consumption on or after August 6, 2015, full stop.
Yes.
No end date.
Yes, it's no end date. It's
But you say that doesn't continue after the administrative review starts.
That's correct. So at the end, so each year at the time of the anti-dumping order, what happens is Commerce will send out a federal register notice.
Can I just back up? Is this the first administrative review we're talking about here?
It might be. I'm not 100% sure.
You all should lay this stuff out in detail in the background sections because you presume we know how this operates, and we do at a high level. But so particularly with this countervailing duty order, so you got the order, and it sets a rate.
Yes.
But it doesn't cover a specific period of time or a specific set of entries. It's prospective. So anything entered after that is covered by that rate. But then I think what I'm hearing you say now is, but all those duties are still suspended, all those entries are still suspended until what? Commerce issues an order to Customs to liquidate?
All those entries are suspended until the first, a year later when the first time for the first admitted review request happens. So each year, say this order was published October of 2019,
so anything between that initial order and the year period is suspended until there's a review.
That's correct.
And then Customs or Commerce does a review.
Yes.
And it issues instructions to Commerce liquidate
at whatever
rate the review finds. It could be the initial rate, it could be lower, it could be higher.
Correct.
Are we in that first year review period here?
I don't know if it's the first year. Every year it happens. So it's the first year, second year, each year on the same
of
the order.
Let's assume it doesn't really matter.
We're in the review period here.
Right, but so even if there is a first-year review period, Commerce issues an instruction, says liquidate at whatever rate, then the next year, your view is automatically suspended under that initial order until Commerce completes its review and issues new instructions.
Yes, the order is, yes. The administrative review only covers the entries.
That's not explained at all.
I cannot understand how the Commerce Department thinks it's appropriate to conduct business in this way. You're supposed to tell the regulated entities what you're doing and what they're supposed to do, and this is opaque, and that's not the way it's supposed to be.
I mean,
whether that's an error that helps the plaintiff here or not, it is still very troubling that there's no clarity and that and regulated parties and this court are having trouble understanding what's going on. It shouldn't be that way.
I mean, I think you're relying on the fact that the trade bar is very sophisticated and many of them probably have the same understanding you do, which is for every administrative review period, it's suspended by operation of the initial order until there's a final decision, and then instructions are liquidated. And, I mean, I think that that's a common understanding, but it doesn't explicitly say that in the initial order. It certainly doesn't explain that in the initiation of review. I mean, you certainly could be more clear, but I actually think I finally understand what you're saying now, which is the suspension does come from
the order,
the initial order, and then there's no liquidation until that becomes final. And here something happened, and the suspension wasn't, it was liquidated when the suspension should have been in effect, and therefore they should have protested as an improper liquidation.
Yes. I mean, here, this should have been, for them to benefit from that amended final results, if that amended final results covered these entries, which is what they're arguing it does, right?
So if that's the case, you're not going to find a separate order from Commerce to Customs for this specific review period saying all these entries are liquidated, probably, because what you're relying on is the suspension in the initial order. None of that was explained in the briefing. You all just take that as the way things operate, and like I said, maybe the more sophisticated members of the trade bar, I'm not saying you're not, please, I'm not trying to be, and so I think you are, but it's not explained at all that that's the way these CBD things operate.
And in carbon activated, there was a specific order suspending liquidation.
Yes, there.
Which we cited in the, you know.
Yes.
So it's not always the case that there's just a quote, an assumption. There's a specific word, carbon activated. Was there a specific order here? That's what we want to know.
I guess the point here is if plaintiff is to have that amended final results applied, then its argument has to be that this entry was suspended. Its entry.
I don't think that necessarily follows at all.
I would say your argument was the order is the initial order for investigation, and what we just went through, that for every review period, they are suspended under that order until there's a final review decision, and then there's new results.
If Commerce is reviewing those specific entries, Commerce only reviews specific entries each administrative review. They don't review all the entries that come through the United States, only for specific exporters that are covered. That's who, you know, who's requested. If an exporter required or an importer.
So if they're not listed or covered at all, they just get liquidated under the previous duty rate.
That's right, under the estimated. But the assessment, final assessment.
The final order here set a rate which was applicable to this party, right?
I'm sorry, say that again?
The administrative review set a rate of about 30%, which was applicable to this party, right?
I'm not sure if it was applicable. I mean, they entered it as that rate because the exporter was Zhonghui.
I'm sorry, I misspoke. The administrative review order set a 15% rate, which was applicable to this party.
I'm not sure if it was applicable to this party. That's on the merits.
The plaintiffs allege that it
was. Yes, plaintiffs are alleging that rate
just,
was.
Just for what it's worth, the way that I have been thinking about it is that it is helpful to you in this case if there was, in fact, a suspension in place at the time of the liquidation, because that means that the other side actually had a real live protest to file within 180 days, as opposed to what I think has been discussed in the, if there was an absence of suspension, could they really have filed a protest on the possibility that a administrative review that was still in process would produce a different rate for them to get?
That's right.
One could avoid that question here if there was actually a suspension in place, because undeniably they had something to protest then.
Again, they definitely had, when these were liquidated, their argument at protest would have been, hey, you have to wait, Customs, because Commerce is still conducting its review and our entries are subject to that review. So you have to wait till that review.
Did you understand why that's different from what I just said?
Yes, but that's...
I wanted you to say, because there was a suspension in place.
As a matter of... At the time the liquidations happened, on the merits, as a matter of fact, I'm not sure if these... And the reason I say I'm not sure whether these entries were suspended at that time or should have remained suspended...
Well, Customs
didn't look at that question either.
That's the question that I think is important to answer, because, among other things, it affects the jurisdictional analysis of A and I. Not dispositively, but it sure would be easier to say you had a perfectly plain, indisputable A jurisdictional claim that depended on a fact that existed then and there and not the possibility of fact that had not yet arisen.
But it's
your point that these entries were suspended if they were covered by the order, but we're not sure that they were covered, the specific entries were covered by the administrative review order or not. And if they weren't covered by the order, then Customs would just liquidate them because there wouldn't be any kind of suspension in place.
Correct, because Commerce would have sent instructions saying you can liquidate these entries.
And so,
because they were not subject to the review.
So the protest should have been our entries are covered by this review period and are suspended.
Yes, that's what their protest would have been. The reason I can't give an answer whether these were suspended or not is
because we don't know whether they're covered or not.
They're not covered or not. That would go
because
into
there is
getting
the question
to,
of somebody withdrawing from the review.
Correct.
And if they withdraw from the review, their entries are no longer covered, and they would be liquidated under the originally entered duty rate.
Correct. So that's what's happening here. And plaintiff, that's
but how do we figure out that factual question? Because that seems to make a difference.
I don't think, I would submit, doesn't make a difference. Because for purposes of jurisdiction.
Oh, your point is, if they weren't covered, then
they were correct.
They were liquidated correctly. If they're covered, they should have protested
that these are premature liquidations.
Yeah.
Yes. That's why for jurisdictional purposes, it does not matter whether customs properly or improperly liquidated these entries. It solely comes down to...
But it sure helps if we know that there is an actual suspension in effect, either via the first initial investigation final order or by some other instruction from Commerce to Customs for this review period.
Sure, but again, factually, we don't know that, right? And we would submit for purposes of jurisdiction, all this is irrelevant. All that's
we
statute,
don't think it's irrelevant. We think it's possibly extremely relevant.
We would... Again, respectfully disagree with that, just because the statute is clear.
Well, you may disagree with it, but please find out the answer to the question. We'll issue an order. Anything further? Okay. Thank you,
Your Honor.
Ms. Mark, you've got 3 minutes.
Can you just tell me why isn't your friend's view of how this stuff operates the traditional way? Because, frankly, that's the way I understood it. When there is an administrative review, all the entries subject to the administrative review are suspended until there's a final decision, and then Commerce issues an order to Customs to reliquidate at whatever rate's found. Isn't that the way this is operated forever? And so this question of whether there was a suspension or not came a little bit out of the blue to me.
Usually what we see is the issue of suspension addressed in the notice. And we see it in
which notice?
In the administrative review notice. And we see it in Juice Farms. We see it in Carbon Activated there. They said, here's the suspension. We don't see that here. We didn't have
what
notice.
About the argument that the original order has a suspension of all entries and that until you conduct a review at each successive annual period, there's not a final decision on what the dutiable rates are. And that final decision at the end of the administrative period is what sets the rates, and then the ones covered by that. And the ones that aren't covered by that are just liquidated under that original order.
Sure. We have to have notice that there's a suspension of liquidation. And here, if there was going to be a continuation of the prior suspension into the administrative review period, one would have expected to see notice of that. We didn't see notice of that. Customs didn't see notice of
that. Can you tell
me,
though, isn't it the common practice that they're suspended during a review period? Are you aware of instances where entries covered by review are liquidated automatically, even though there's a review going on?
I'm not aware either way, Your Honor, to be very candid.
Do you happen to know, was this the first administrative review? Or?
I believe it was, but I can't be certain of that. I don't want to give a
well,
wrong
if this
answer.
Is the first one, that would seem to make the language in the initial order very relevant. Because the initial order doesn't order liquidation at anything. It just sets a rate, and then it says enter them under this, and then until you get an order from Commerce to Customs ordering liquidation, or, there's nothing that happens.
Sure. I understand. I understand where the court is coming from on this, but at the same time, from my client's perspective, they are not members of the trade bar. They are tire importers. And they look at this and they see, is there a suspension order attached with this notice? Customs doesn't think there's a suspension order because they liquidated our entries. And we see the government...
I don't know that that's true, though. I think maybe they liquidated your entries because they thought they weren't covered by the review period because some entity related to your client withdrew. Do you understand the distinction? Because if they're not covered by the review period, which only covers certain entries, it doesn't cover everything entered. So if their entries weren't covered by that review period, then they were properly liquidated because they weren't covered. And if you thought that they weren't proper, and if you thought that they should have been covered, you should have protested that.
I don't think there's any argument that they weren't covered because the rate is accessible to the manufacturer, the Chinese manufacturer. The Chinese manufacturer that's at issue here is listed in the initial notice.
Well, who's the manufacturer that withdrew? That's what the problem for me is. I'm wondering if Customs made a mistake and thought these entries were coming from the manufacturer that withdrew.
Sure, and I can't speak to what Customs believed or what they did.
Isn't that why you protest the decision? These entries were improperly liquidated because our entries are under review per this order.
The only anecdote I can give you, Your Honor, is that we have that one protest, the one protest that's out there that we filed once we knew the new rate. We filed that protest and said, for this manufacturer, the rate is now 15%, and they gave us that refund.
So that suggests they thought you were covered by the administrative review.
Correct.
Which means you should have protested the decision to liquidate.
If there was a suspension in place. And they didn't, I mean, there's no notice of suspension in place.
I'm not aware of any operation of commerce. And yes, it's very unclear from what we have here. But this is the way it operates. When there's a review period, the entries covered by the review are not liquidated until the review is complete.
And that's inconsistent with the position that the government has taken here. They, on page 15 of their brief, they indicate we don't concede that Customs liquidations were premature.
Well, that's because we don't know whether these entries are covered by the review or not.
Sure, but
right?
It would seem the one piece of information we have would indicate that they are. Because the manufacturer is there and
wrong.
We got our refund.
Right, if the entries aren't covered by the review, then they were properly liquidated, right?
If the entries are not covered by the review, it depends on whether there's a suspension in place.
There's no suspension. If the entries aren't covered by the review, they're not covered by the review at all. There wouldn't be a suspension for entries that aren't covered
Understood.
By the review.
Yes.
So if the entries aren't covered by the review, covered by the review, you're not in that list, and I understand you have arguments.
We are in that list.
Okay, but assume you're not. If you're not in that list and Customs liquidates, it's proper, right?
I don't disagree with you on that.
Okay. So if Customs thought you weren't in that list and liquidated, that would be a correct decision if Customs was right. But if Customs made an error and you were in that list, then isn't it incumbent on you to bring that to Customs' attention and said, look, we're on this list. You liquidated us and we're covered by this review.
If there was a suspension in place. If there's no suspension in place.
What makes a difference whether it's a suspension or not?
Because what precludes commerce from liquidating if there's no instruction that they stop liquidating? Regardless of whether it may change in the future, it may not change, it may go up, you know, to their point.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Both counsel. The case is submitted. We'll issue an order with respect to further briefing.